Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to another fantastic episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. Please visit our website at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com and discover how we help you win at the game of business and marketing so you thrive from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion. My name is Adam Homey. I am your host. And I do encourage you to visit the website so that you can experience a breadth and depth of topics relevant to business creators just like you. And be sure to subscribe to us through your favorite syndication network so when we release fresh content, it gets delivered right to your doorstep on the virtual web. Now, today, we are going to have sort of a philosophical conversation. We're going to have a lot of fun with this. And what we're going to be discussing are principles of billionaire wealth and success. So we have some time to cover a bunch of these. There are a number of different things that I'm going to go over with my guest here, and let me introduce you to him right now. His name is Raphael Badziag. He's a Germany-based global entrepreneur, top TED speaker, best-selling author, and angel investor. He's a valued expert in psychology of entrepreneurship, specializing in self-made billionaires, and he been featured on NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox Networks, as well as USA Today, Wall Street Journal, and other national newspapers and TV networks in several countries. He is the author of The Billion Dollar Secret, which is also the URL of his website, www.thebilliondollarsecret.com, and I encourage you to check that out as well. So, Raphael, come on in. The weather's fine.
Hi, it's a pleasure being there, and it's an honor. Thank you, Adam.
Absolutely. So right now, Raphael, we probably have some of our listeners who are, they're leaning in, they've got a separate browser tab open, they're binging the Yahoo out of the Googles, looking to discover more about this guy, Raphael Badziag, and they're going to that website, thebilliondollarsecret.com. So before we get into some of our discussion points for today, and we have a whole bunch of them. We'll see how many we can get through in the very brief period of time we have together. First of all, what I'd like to do is just take a step back with you. And Raphael, if you could tell us a little bit about your journey and what's brought you to where you are today, serving business creators from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion.
Okay, so generally I'm an entrepreneur myself. I created the first e-commerce company for sporting goods in German-speaking market back in the 90s. So I was, you could say, pioneer in e-commerce in Europe. It was pretty successful company. It became a multi-million dollar company. But several years into the business, I realized it's a constant struggle. It's an uphill battle. It's firefighting. And I realized there were competitors who started later, but they surpassed me in terms of revenue, in terms of success, profit, profitability. And it looked from the side as if they were more successful and they grew faster, they attracted more capital. And I realized there is something missing in my personality as an entrepreneur. I realized we had the same business model, right? Everybody in our industry, it's in e-commerce, you have more or less the same business model. And the only difference between us was actually the personality of the entrepreneur. So I realized there is something missing in my entrepreneurial personality. And I started to read all these books about millionaire thinking, about success, about entrepreneurship, about business, going to business conferences, to listening to different maybe podcasts, maybe videos. And I found myself in that conference where I was jumping around with other participants and high-fiving each other and shouting to each other, "You've got a millionaire mind." And it somehow didn't resonate with me. I didn't know what it was, but then I realized, of course, I've got a millionaire mind. I have built a multi-million dollar company, but it didn't feel successful at all. It's not what I understood as a success. It's just not the level I would expect, because you have to realize nowadays to be a millionaire in business, it's pretty average performance. It's, you could say, even mediocrity. Let's take the States, right? If we take 20 businesses, only two of them survive after, let's say, 10 years. And out of these two survivals, you have one of them becomes a multi-million dollar company. So the owner of that business becomes a millionaire. So is that somehow a great business performance? If you live in L.A., if you live in New York, a simple apartment can cost you more than $1 million. Right, so you wouldn't consider that great business performance. And then I realized, actually, you know, I am trying to get to possess knowledge of millionaires, and this is actually not something that will somehow bring me farther, because I was on that level already. And then I started to just think who are the best entrepreneurs in the world, because if in order to compete with people in my industry, this knowledge that I was acquiring at that time, the millionaire knowledge, let's say, it was just not enough. In order to compete with them, I had to do something more, to acquire and apply a higher quality of knowledge, higher level of knowledge. And if you, let's say you are in the States and you want to play in NBA, so learning to play from your local hero won't bring you there, right? In order to get there, you need the best coach, and you would like to learn maybe from somebody like Michael Jordan, or at least somebody like a former NBA player or something. Right? So from the best, from the world best players, if you want to perform on the highest level, you learn from the very best people you can get, because the amount of time, amount of effort and of your work will be the same, but the result will be different, right? So I started to ask myself, what are the best entrepreneurs in the world? Who are they, right? And in business, we have just one objective measure of success, and this is net worth, right? You can define success differently in different ways of life, but in business, it's pretty simple. It's the net worth, so the value you have created in your business career. So the best entrepreneurs in the world are at the same time the wealthiest people in the world. So I realized I needed to learn to do business from billionaires in order to be able to compete against the best players in my industry. So that's how I embarked on that journey, and I spent 6 years of my life traveling several times around the globe, like physically around the globe, meeting and interviewing self-made billionaires, so not millionaires, billionaires with capital B, and researching their hearts, their souls, their minds, in order to answer this question: what in their personalities made them so extremely successful in business? Because they are the world champions in the industry. So that's the story of my book, the background of what led to this project that I embarked on.
Right. And, you know, that's a great story. And I love how you had some of the discoveries you went along. And I saw a little bit of self-discovery in there as well, which is motivating for our listeners. So you have a number of points you like to make about billionaires, and some of these really stand out. So we're going to go through as many of these as we can. There's some things I'm going to ask you to define for us, and some things I'm going to have you list for us and explain, because really this is sort of like a brain dump on how to get into The Mind of a Billionaire, and How to Learn the Principles of Billionaire Wealth and Success. So first of all, we're going to look at a series of questions about how billionaires deal with things that other entrepreneurs deal with, and the difference between the billionaires and those of us who are on our way to becoming billionaires. So let's start with, how do billionaires handle risk?
Okay. First of all, I need to stress that in my book, in my research, I define success on three different levels. So you have the lowest level, which is the level of, I call it, drifters. So people who generally are unsuccessful in business. It's, of course, everything in relation to business. So drifters, people who just don't know where they want to get and they don't know how to get there, naturally. The second level is the what I would say mainstream considers success, or let's say average success. So these people all are what we call millionaires, right? And then we have the highest level of performance of success. These are the billionaires. And what I found out is that there are some things that bring you, that can make you successful, but then they stop you on some level and they don't let you achieve success or scale your business and achieve, you know, the win the game of business in your industry, so to say, and become a billionaire. Right?
Right.
So now coming back to your question about risk, we have here the difference between millionaires and billionaires, and we have also the success on the or the lack of success on the lowest performance on the lowest level. So generally, the drifters, they are afraid of taking risk. They don't take any risk, right? Then millionaires, they take risks, and they are aware that they need to take risk in order to be successful. But they can't handle risk in the way that billionaires can. So either they take risks with limited upside, or they bet the house and then they lose everything, right? So what billionaires have optimized is the risk strategies, and what they do is taking risks that they can bear, that they can so to say, afford, but on the other hand, risks that have unlimited upside. So let's say these are asymmetric risks. They have a small downside or limited downside and unlimited upside. And these are the risks that that billionaires take, and they generally take only these things. These risks, and billionaires never, I mean, there are different strategies, of course, depending on how far you are in your company growth. When you are in the beginnings, right, when you are in your 20s, in your 30s maybe, when you have just started and you haven't built any value yet in your business, then you can, of course, risk everything in your business because there is nothing to lose, right? But when you have grown a business and you have built value, then you should never bet the house. And for example, Manish Tool, the World Entrepreneur of the Year 2016, he is an Australian toy maker. And he told me, no matter how great it looks and no matter how no-brainer it seems, I will never bet my house. I will never put, let's say, 20-30% of my net worth on any opportunity, right? Because it could ruin me, right? And but on the other hand, as I said, billionaires are really proficient in finding opportunities with a limited risk, and then maxing out the upside. I mean, with an unlimited upside, right? And one of the strategies that they employ is is generally experimenting. So they start several experiments that have this quality of unlimited upside, and each of them they apparently can afford to lose, and they are willing to accept that they can lose, and that maybe even majority of these experiments may fail. But if one of them, of the experiments, succeeds, then it can grow exponentially. It can go generally limitless, right? So this is one of the things. And I have also to say that I would call billionaires as risk masters, because on one hand, they aren't afraid to take risks, and they realize that without risk, if there is no risk, there is no opportunity. And without taking risks, your success will be very limited. So on one hand, they realize they need to take risks, and they like to take risks. On the other hand, they mastered the art of optimizing of risk control, so to say, of optimizing the risk reward ratio, so to say, for them. So, and you could say, you know, the best strategy actually for risk taking is to set the rules of the game. So they try, what billionaires try to do, of course, is to play the games that they can set the rules for, right? And this, of course, mitigates a lot of risks, right? If you play the game of other people, or where other people decide about the rules, then your chances of winning that game are pretty small, or are limited, so to say, right? So this is more or less the answer to your question.
Okay, great. Yeah, and that's a pretty detailed share. So let's go get a little bit more specific and share with us. You have some billionaire strategies that, you know, transitioning from handling risk, help billionaires develop courage and not worry so much.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a bit about that.
Okay. Generally, you need to realize that in order to achieve something, you need to risk or to venture something, right? So, and many people just have, or most people just have, are afraid of taking risks, right? But billionaires have developed some strategies about that. Some of them I told you, and they and I distilled some of the strategies into, let's say, six points how that help you not to, I mean, that help you build up the courage and not worry about the outcome. So one of first of them is you need to accept that you may fail, right? And actually, you have to realize that you must fail and fail many times before you become a success. These, you know, stories about overnight success, they are nice fairy tales, but in reality, every of my billionaires has failed many times on the way to what they have achieved. And this is what I told you before. They set up many experiments, and most of these experiments fail, but those which survive, they become very successful. And so they accept that you may fail. And this is the art of, you know, of actually achieving something, to do something with the knowledge that it may not work out. So this is one of the strategies. Another strategy is to realize that generally we are a tiny, unimportant speck of dust, and in the endlessness of the universe, and our life is very limited. So there is nothing to worry about, because whatever you would do or you could do in your life, it is just completely unimportant in the vast endlessness of the universe, right? So Chotak Wong, the World Entrepreneur of the Year 2009, so the best entrepreneur in the world 2009, a Chinese auto glass manufacturer, told me that that each individual has a very limited power, no matter how hard you work. So compared to the world and compared to the history, a person is very, very small. So there is nothing to worry about. If you have this perspective, then most of the things in your life look small and easy to do, so to say. Then the next strategy is to realize that what you consider risk is actually your ignorance. So the fear that you have in face of the risk is actually the fear of the unknown. It means you don't know what will happen, and that's why you're afraid of that, and that's why you call it risk, right? But with experience, you will get rid of most of it, right? So the more you know about the situation, the more experience you get, the more you learn about that, the less risky it becomes. And, of course, it reduces your fear also to take the step, right? And Naveen Jain, by the way, an American billionaire, that self-made billionaire that I have interviewed, Naveen Jain has created InfoSpace. This was one of the giants of the dot-com era, and since then, maybe you know Singularity University. He is one of the founders of Singularity University. He told me, risk is in your mind. It comes from ignorance, and risk is the fear of the unknown. So this is what I learned from Naveen Jain. And the next strategy would be that the more risks you take, the better you can handle it. So with it's not only experience in your industry, and it's not about not only experience or knowledge about what you do, but it is also experience from the risk taking itself, right? So let's come to maybe to the next strategy. It would be if you see billionaires see life as an adventure and a challenge, and they see risk as fun, actually. And it comes together with how billionaires look at business. And they look at business as a game. And this is what Mark Cuban told me, actually, also an American billionaire that you surely know. He told me that this is actually the most exciting game that was ever created, right? Because you play 24/7, and it is global. It is played without any breaks, and you can even get knocked out while you are asleep, right? So this is the most exciting game that you can play. And if you regard business as this game and then taking risk as fun, a lot becomes easier. And let's come to the last strategy. And this is just, it means just to have a safety net. And safety net in the case of billionaires means usually a pretty traditional family that, hold their backs. And this is one of the possibilities. The other possibility is, surprisingly, many of the billionaires, they have learned quite simple trade, so that if they, if they go bankrupt, maybe if they fail in business, they can always switch back and scale down to a regular job, and they will still survive. So with that in mind, if you know, whatever happens, my family stays with me, and I have a loving, supporting partner. I have loving kids, and so my close people close to me are still there. They will support me. They will stay with me. And worst case, I can go and work for somebody and will still survive. This makes risking much easier. You can, you can venture some risky stuff and just enjoy playing the game of business, right? So,
right.
These are the six strategies that I wanted to tell you about.
Right. That's fantastic. So now we've dealt with risk, we've dealt with courage. Now let's deal with efficiency. You've identified some efficiency strategies that help billionaires. And the reason I bring this up is because you hear the whole thing about, well, yeah, that billionaire has the same 24 hours in a day as everybody else. How do they get so much more done? And it's one of those tropes, basically. So having actually spoken with billionaires and having put so much time into studying this, what have you found that billionaires do to increase their efficiency?
Yeah, so again, I have identified several of these. I will tell you maybe five, maybe six.
Okay.
First of all, and this may sound simple and this is pretty basic, it's of course to set goals, right? And but they are pretty sophisticated in doing that. So you need to have goals written down. And I have researched, some of the billionaires, they have really long lists and review them like daily, weekly, monthly, and they have plans, also yearly plans, monthly plans, and daily plans. What is important is to generally have goals, right? Ron Sim told me if you don't have goals, you are a lost man. And this refers back to what I told you in the beginning, that the people on the lowest level of success, so to say, unsuccessful people in business, that's why I call them drifters, because they don't have goals, and they don't, of course, if you don't have goals, you don't know how to get there, right? That you can't get there, right? And some of the billionaires, they have all of them actually write down with the goals, of course, the date by when it should be reached. And some of them add, like Chip Wilson, for example, he adds also, he calls it conditions of satisfaction. So he generally defines what exactly should happen or in order to consider this goal as fulfilled, as reached, right? So he's very specific and extremely precise about his goals. So this is one of the things. The other thing is also sounds basic, to plan regularly. So billionaires usually plan daily, and they do it in a day timer, in a calendar. And this is also important to distinguish between dreams and between plans, right? Of course, you have dreams, and you need to have big, outrageous dreams in order to become so extremely successful in business as billionaires do. But the other thing is to have plans, and not only related to your companies, but actually in every aspect of life, and then divide up the goals into steps, into plans. So this sounds at first, let's say, basic. Let's come to the third strategy, and this is prioritization. And this is interesting,
right?
Because most people they don't have, I would say, a specific prioritization strategy. They don't average people, or let's say averagely successful people. They don't realize what strategy. Prioritization strategy they follow, and they are pretty inconsistent in following it, and that's why they are inconsistent, right? Because their strategy generally depends on the moods. But what billionaires do, they have a defined prioritization strategy. They are aware of the prioritization strategy. I have this identify four prioritization strategies that they apply, and each of them applies a different strategy, but they are consistent in applying them. So one of the prioritization strategies is to do most important stuff first, right? Another strategy is to do the most difficult stuff first, and this is, for example, like Peter Hargreaves from UK, who created Hargreaves Lansdown, the largest investment retail industry in the UK, who said to me that he every morning he asks himself two questions: who do you least want to speak to, and what task do you least want to do, and invariably, those two things are the top priorities for the day, and these are the top two things, or the first two things that he does every day. So, so generally, in that strategy, you do the first things. The first things you do are the things you don't like to do, right? Then we come to the next prioritization strategy, and these are the most urgent stuff first. And this is also interesting because I was surprised that, you can imagine that billionaires are very busy people. I mean, if you have, let's say, Mohit Altrat, the World Entrepreneur of the Year 2015, he is the world leader in scaffolding industry. He owns 200 companies in scaffolding, right? And you could imagine he is really busy. But following like this strategy and consistently, he is able to respond to every email in half an hour. I'm really surprised, but every time I write him an email, he answers in half an hour. It looks like he doesn't have much to do, but it can be, right? So, so these are the, you know, the payoffs when you follow your strategy very strictly. And the last strategy that I have identified is higher potential first. So this is, for example, the strategy that Tony Tan Kek-Tiong employs, and he is the World Entrepreneur of the Year 2004. The owner or the founder of Jollibee Foods, that's the largest food restaurant company in Asia, 4,500 restaurants, 12 brands. And he told me that the decisive criteria is for what he does next is of course the potential of the thing. So he wants to spend first the time with the tasks with the highest potential. So this was the third strategy to have a specific prioritization strategy that you follow consistently. Then the four apparently is focus, right? And this is also pretty basic when you hear that, but what billionaires do in most of these cases, they drive it to extreme, right? So for example, Michał Sołowow, the wealthiest person in Poland right now, he told me, you know, it's not only important to decide what you need to do, but even more important it is to decide on which things you don't do, right? Because often the ability to say no to something that looks attractive is difficult, but on the other hand, doing everything is impossible, and it causes distraction, right? So. And this distraction means, of course, lack of the concentration, and at the end, it leads to lack of results. So in order to be focused, you need to decide on the things that you won't do or that you will not do, and you need to be able to say no to many things, right? And billionaires are really proficient in saying no to most of the things. Right?
Right,
and this has something also, of course, then you employ tools like delegation and so on and so on, but this is more detail. So the fifth strategy that they employ is to leverage the time and energy, right? And you need to realize that your time and your energy is limited every day, right? I mean, this is you can't scale the work or the amount of things you can do when you employ only your time and energy, right? So what billionaires do is they, as I said, one of the tools is to delegate, and the other thing is to realize that Jack Cohen says, to get out of the personal exertion business, meaning if you are if you structure your business in a way that you are generally paid per hour, then you put a limit on what you can achieve, right? So you have to structure your business in a way that that your time doesn't get consumed in that business, so to say, that you don't get you are not working per hour. And I can give you here maybe an anecdote that Livio Porizotto, a Brazilian billionaire that I included in the book, told me. He was once asked, because he is also a doctor of medicine. He was, studying for medicine, and he graduated, and he is a doctor of medicine. But then he became extremely successful in business, a billionaire. And once a friend, also a doctor of medicine, a physician, asked him, how is it possible to become a billionaire as a doctor, right? And the answer was, first, stop working a doctor, right? So this is how you the strategy you employ there. And the next strategy is, and this is certainly interesting, it's to measure everything you do. And because the thing you measure, only then you can improve on that, when you know the exact numbers that you have, right? And some of the billionaires, they are extremely, they are pretty extreme in measuring what they do. Apparently, it's very useful in cost cutting in production business. And for example, Frank Hasenfratz, when I asked him, this measure everything you do is actually his motto. And Frank Hasenfratz is founder of Linamore, a Canadian billionaire, and Linamore is one of the most profitable and most efficient auto parts manufacturers in the world. And so he got into this habit of measuring in his youth, because he was a professional or like a competitive rower. And he realized that, if you want to win the race, you have to watch the watch, right? I mean, to watch your time, and then to optimize your performance in that time. And he told me that he literally measures everything in his life, not only in his business. So he even measures how many strokes he needs when shaving. And I couldn't believe that, so I asked him, how many strokes do you need? And he said, well, earlier I needed 82 strokes, and today I need 83, 84 sometimes, because I got more wrinkles in my face. So so this is, you have also to realize that, when you are a billionaire, you have to be extreme. And so... some of the or most of the billionaires, they have the like oddities, tweaks, and so on. And one of them is like, going to extreme with measuring everything. Okay, so that's generally the six strategies that I have identified in that area.
All right. So for most of our conversation here, and we are already a good 45 minutes in. Time is really flying here. We've been discussing billionaires. Why not millionaires?
Why not millionaires? Yeah, because millionaires, as I said, this is what I consider when you look at that from today's perspective. Being a millionaire is not what it used to be. It's just an average performance in business, right? And if I want to compete with the guys in my industry, I need to learn from much better people than millionaires. I need to to learn from much better people that I am in business, right, in the business game. And it depends on, and this is what I write in the book. It depends on your motivation, right? If your motivation is to be, let's say, comfortable in life, then being a millionaire may be sufficient, right? You just have another different goals in life, right? But if you have the motivation, or if you have the ambition to be good at what you do, to be good in business, right? If you spend your life in business, or you enjoy business, you enjoy playing that game, you want to be good at that, then you want to, you know, maximize your score, so to say. And money is actually, this is what billionaires, they don't do it for the money itself, because, you know, at some level, you, at, let's say, $25 million, more or less, you have pretty much maxed out your personal life. I mean, you can't get much more luxury in your personal life. Or on, let's say, every million or every 10 million you add to your net worth, it's just in no relation to the effort you need to put in order to get it. So people who are motivated by personal luxury, by, let's say, comfort, like personal comfort, comfortable life, they tend to get this motivated on that level, on the level of 20, more or less, nowadays maybe 25 million, because the effort they would need to put in to grow their businesses further just doesn't pay off in their private lives. It's just not visible in their private lives. And so that's why, and these people, this is a typical, let's say, millionaire motivation, and this is there is nothing wrong about that. But on the other hand, you are unable then to scale your business because you are just dismotivated, and you don't see you have the attitude. Why should I work that hard? Much longer, I can live on that money for the rest of my life. So you just stay on that level. Or maybe even your business suffers when you realize, you know, there is nothing, it's not that exciting anymore, right? I mean, I have achieved what I wanted, and that's it. But billionaires, they have different motivations. And only if you have these motivations, then you are able to scale your business to much higher levels. And one of the motivations I have mentioned before, this is the joy of playing the game of business, right? The other motivation is competition, you know, to the will to win, so to say, right? And this is all of these of the billionaires I have interviewed, they are extremely competitive to the point that I may say, tell you another anecdote. Manny Stuhl, I have mentioned before, the World Entrepreneur of the Year 2016, so to say, the best entrepreneur in the year 2016. He, when I interviewed some of the billionaires at my book launch, like one after another, and the last one was Manny Stuhl. So at the end, he asked me, you know, to state that he won the competition, so he was the best interviewee, so to say. So he performed the best among other billionaires. So even, you know, like playing that game, even competing, even when being interviewed. So this is how extreme they are in the game. This is somehow sometimes funny, but it is how. What you need to have this, you know, this edge in order to prevail against, you know, endless or constant competition. As I said, you know, the game of business is played 24/7, even when you sleep. And so this was another motivation. Then there is, of course, the motivation, and you have to also to understand that the motivations they change throughout life, and you can start with the motivation to become, let's say, wealthy, or to live a luxurious life, but then this motivation changes. Or can change. So another motivation is, of course, a motivation to build something, to create something, right? All these billionaires that I have interviewed, and I'm, you know, the book I have written is only about self-made billionaires. All the people in my book are self-made. So they started from zero and they brought it to billions of dollars. And all of them, they have created companies, at least one. Some of them, they have created 10, 20, 80 companies. And so they enjoy this act of creation, of building something, of bringing something to life. Then there is also the motivation of social impact, right, of changing the society, leaving something sustainable that will, that will work in that society for many, many years. Then there is a motivation, and this is a very strong motivation, and some of the billionaires, they bring it from their childhood, a motivation of hunger, and like a physical hunger that they have experienced in life, or in the childhood, and they just want to make sure that they will never hunger again. And of course, this develops then in a motivation of making sure other people don't hunger, or other people around them, or in the company, or in the society that they create the company. So these are the typical billionaire motivations, right? That make you relentless, that don't make you stop on some level, and generally make you perform endlessly until you drop, right? Until you drop dead, generally.
Great. Well, we're actually pretty much near the top of the hour here, and you've shared so many great insights. I encourage everybody listening to go back and subscribe to Business Creators Radio Show so you can download our excellent interview with Rafael Badziag on the principles of billionaire wealth and success. This man is an absolute treasure trove. He has given you so many incredible starting points for moving toward having the mindset, the actions, and the plan to enjoy the billionaire lifestyle. So before we go here, I wanted to give you just a moment, Rafael, and tell us a little bit, anybody who's listening right now and wants to discover more about you and how you serve business creators, what's the next step for them?
Okay, so go to my website, The Billion Dollar Secret. You can get a free chapter of my book there. You can get, of course, my book on any platform, on Amazon, on Barnes & Nobles, in your local bookstore. It's called The Billion Dollar Secret, 20 Principles of Billionaire Wealth and Success. And I have also a lot of free material on my YouTube channel with the same name, The Billion Dollar Secret. So go there and check it out, and I will be happy, you know, to give some tools to your listeners. And I publish every week, sometimes twice a week, a video, and there is a lot of much more stuff in my book, of course.
Great, absolutely. And again, I'll encourage everybody, that website is thebilliondollarsecret.com. Want to make sure I get that right so you can get there. It's thebilliondollarsecret.com. So, Rafael Badziag, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been an honor, and believe me, an education.
Thank you, Adam. It was an honor and a pleasure talking to you and giving some value to your listeners, to your audience. Thank you.
Oh, we've certainly accomplished that today, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. For everybody listening, this is Adam Homey, host of the Business Creators Radio Show. Please be sure to check out our previous and our upcoming episodes at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com, where we help you win at the game of business and marketing so you thrive from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion. Until next time, have a great day. Take care.